Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish, live from a makeup room just outside State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Welcome back to the Ion College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss Campbell Fighting, Dodo Birds, Leaky Black. Ion College Basketball Podcast is presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Matt Norlander is here with me. He's actually inside the stadium. I'm outside the stadium, but we are both here in Arizona, where the National League semifinals were held earlier today. They're now in the books. Game one, final score, Purdue 63, NC State 50. Game two, final score, UConn 86, Alabama 72. As some people predicted, two double-digit victories for the favorites. So Monday's national title game is set. We're going to touch on it very briefly at the end before we're out of here. And we'll have a full preview of Monday's title game on a fresh episode of the Ion College Basketball Podcast on Sunday. But tonight, for the most part, let's just focus on the national semifinals. And let's do it in the order that the games were played. Norlander, Purdue turned it over a little more than usual. 16 turns, only 13 assists. That's not great. Braden Smith wasn't great offensively, at least, but the Boilermakers still never trailed in the game, led by as many as 20, won by 13. Simply put, I think I had suggested to you earlier in the week, this might be what it looks like. It looked like a one seed playing an 11 seed. When you think of a one seed playing an 11 seed, that game played out about the way you would assume it might play out. Did you see it similarly?
Yes, except we didn't think that it would be like this. Right. And by this, I mean Purdue winning a game in which it only scores 63 points. NC State, I mean, you could have pictured them not being all that competitive, sure, but I didn't think we'd get this kind of an irregular, or as I wrote, my column was on this game here from State Farm Stadium. It was just misshapen, but I don't know what to say other than Purdue has, in my opinion, and I do want to get into the game a little bit, but let me just go with the thesis of my column. I don't believe that Purdue needs to beat UConn on Monday night to have a redemption story. Just getting to the title game and making its first title game and playing for a championship for the first time since 1969, to me, it has redeemed itself. It's going up against an all-time behemoth. Agree or disagree? To me, it is. They have been cleansed. Anything happens on Monday, it obviously enhances the story, but I don't think it needs that to erase and to put off what happened last year against FDU.
I agree with you. If they win it, obviously there's no conversation to have other than it's one of the biggest college basketball stories of all time, and in the sense of it went from that to this. Virginia, obviously, same thing. It would be remarkable if we were to get these two stories in such a close proximity of time, given that for so many years we never had a 16 beat a 1 to even create this possibility before. Yeah. But you're exactly right. Let's say Purdue does lose on Monday night. You know, as long as they don't get embarrassed, and perhaps even if they do, you know what everybody will say. They lost to the best not only team in the country, they lost to the best program in the country and maybe the best coach in the country. The Purdue jokes are over. At least I hope so. And if you're still trying to make them, you're only laughing with a couple of other idiots.
I would agree. Let's dig into the game just a little bit here. And for anyone watching live, you're real ones. We appreciate you, especially if you're on the West Coast here. A reminder, we're going to have another pod on Sunday. So we are talking mostly about what we saw here on the court and the games that went down. So let's dig into a little bit here of Purdue versus NC State. Take you inside the stadium just a little bit. Impressed by NC State's turnout from a fan base perspective. Really, really good job by that program's fan base. They came in some big time numbers. That being said, Purdue is not messing around, and you could tell that this was a program fan base that was aching for this moment, and in a really impressive showing by Purdue's faithful there. They saw a game in which NC State made it interesting early. Purdue had some, as you mentioned before with the turnovers, they had 16, second most in a game this season. Michael O'Connell, though, having what I'm guessing is the hammy injury that took him out early. He did return at one point in the first half, and he came back deep in the second half, but he was obviously hampered. I don't know if he's healthy, if they win the game or not, GP. But to me, it was, again, the defense. And I wrote this in my column as well. Yes, Edie had 20 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. He just keeps giving you 20 and 10 games up and down. But Braden Smith didn't have a good game. He made one field goal. It was the 3 in the corner, all of about, 25 feet from where I'm podcasting right now. That locked up the game. Huge crowd pop, but he had 5 turnovers. He had 2 backcourt violations. It's the defense, GP. NC State, 0.78 points per possession in this game. And they got done to them what they had done to all these teams. You know, they shooting below 40% and just being totally out of sorts there. And obviously credit to Purdue for game planning that extremely well. I talked to Painter afterward, and they're just, there's a very business-like approach to this team. I'll also say this, and I do want your thoughts on the game and how it played out. After they won the game, the way that this is set up this year in the stadium is normally you have teams go off through different exit entrances, vomitoriums, however you want to say it. For whatever reason and how the footprint of the layout here, teams are coming in and out of the same tunnel. And so I had never seen this before, and maybe it impacted how Purdue reacted, but Purdue and NC State players were intermingling as they were walking off the floor. And so you would have thought, I was sitting with or standing with a couple other reporters, you would have thought like both teams had just lost the game. Now, part of that might be they don't want to be jerks in front of the team they just defeated. Maybe it is businesslike, but they are ready. I mean, they came in ready. They're ready for Monday. And the defense again and again and again for Purdue keeps showing up. To me, it's that consistency that has put them in this place, because they played, I'd say Purdue gave you a C performance, maybe a C-plus performance overall. And yet you look up and it's 63-50, and it's just an oh, by the way here. So what were your thoughts on what you saw?
Well, just circling back to, it looked like a 1 seed playing an 11 seed. Purdue, I'll agree with you. Let's call it a C. I mean, I might go C minus, but we're grading them on a Purdue curve. But on that Purdue curve, they were not Purdue like. Again, the turnovers were an issue. Edie was 20 and 12, but that's not his averages. He didn't get his averages, and he was pretty. He wasn't as productive in the second half as he typically is. And then Braden Smith, was it 1 of 9 from the field? So, like, Edie doesn't give you his normal stuff. Braden Smith gives you, like, the worst game he's ever played. Your team, broadly speaking, turns it over, and you still win the game comfortably. Like, no problems, no scare. You're just coasting to the finish line. So it just brings it into the NC State story. Oh, by the way, DJ Burns turned back into DJ Burns. 8 points, 4 of 10 shooting.
NC State turned back into NC State, which I also wrote in the column. It just, and you know what, but maybe that's a little unfair, because NC State and Painter even said we're facing a 9-0 team. We're not facing a team that was 17-14. Purdue forced NC State to become the team that it looked like in the final month of the season instead of the team that it had transformed into. I give Purdue credit for that, GP, instead of blaming NC State.
Yeah, I guess I would just say, it's okay to be nuanced and just tell the truth about the whole story. And here's the truth. NC State sucked for 4 months. That's the truth. They were not good. They finished 10th in their league. They had 14 losses. Their coach was maybe, and I emphasize the word maybe, but maybe on the verge of being replaced by somebody else. And then what happened? I don't know how it happened. I don't know why it happened. Nobody saw it coming, but it happened. And then they had an incredible three-week run. ACC tournament, first week NCAA tournament, second week of the NCAA tournament, and that gets contracts extensions done, gets NIL deals done, it gets NC State to the Final Four. I bumped into a million NC State fans inside the stadium, outside the stadium. They were having the time of their lives up until the game started, and then the game played out like they were playing a 14-loss team. As for Purdue side of things, I don't know if you saw the Braden Smith interview with AJ Ross afterward, but he was great. And I loved that he was willing and comfortable talking to AJ after a bad individual performance. And you mentioned businesslike. It's the only way the only reason I bring it back up. He was just very, I don't know, calm and thoughtful. And AJ asked about, you know, the Fairleigh Dickinson game last season that ended their season. And he said, I respect Fairleigh Dickinson. They beat us. But I also believe that if we played them 10 times last year, we would have beat them 9 times. They just beat us that one time. And so what happened happened. But, and I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, we never thought that was a reflection of our team. And we always believe that if we play well, we should be one of the last two teams playing. And so now this is where we're at. And we're looking forward to it. And I just thought he was able to frame the Fairleigh Dickinson thing for exactly what it was. The type of thing that can sometimes happen in a single elimination tournament of 40-minute basketball games. Nothing more, nothing less. Too many people had used that as an indictment on Purdue, Matt Painter, Zach Edey, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, everybody involved, and it shouldn't have been because Zach Edey's better today than he was last year. Braden Smith is obviously better this season than he was last season. Fletcher Lawyer, this gets lost a little bit because his minutes went down, points went down, shots went down. He was better. Everything went down, but he was better because he was more efficient. It went from like 32% three-point shooter to a 44% three-point shooter, and he made some big shots in this one. Yes. I love the Purdue story, and I am glad that we have now seen it through to the national title game. I won't pretend to be certain about what's going to happen on Monday night, but I just like the idea that the Boilermakers have gotten to this point. And with that, if you got one last word on them, use it, and then we'll go to UConn.
Yeah, for sure. Just a couple nuggets here. Edie's going to set the record for most points in a tournament, by the way, because right now he's got 140. The record is Glenn Rice with 153 and 89. He's going to break that. And he is now the sixth with his sixth straight 20 and 10 game in the tournament. Longest streak since Elvin Hayes. He's the first player since Melo in 03 to have 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists in a Final Four setting. Melo actually did it in the title game. Continues, Braden Smith, I said he didn't have a great game. He didn't with the 5 turnovers. However, credit to our CBS Sports research team for this. He was the first player with at least 8 boards, 6 assists, and 3 steals in a Final Four game since Grant Hill, since the guy on the mic in this game in 1994. A little bit of an oddy one, but it speaks to how Lawyer and Smith in particular can really come up in different ways and help lift this team. And Purdue did not score a single point from the mid-range on Saturday. 30 points came from beyond the arc, 24 were in the paint, and 9 were from the foul line. They won it in unconventional ways. Painter told me he was really proud of, like, I'm going to paraphrase him. Basically, the scouting report broke down. Our team didn't break down. We did win ugly. And coming from the Big Ten, although they didn't have a lot of games like this, in a weird way, it really helped them. And then a final word for me on NC State, congrats on a wonderful season. You did have DJ Burns fade back, unfortunately. DJ Horn showed up. He had 20, but he couldn't lift it all on himself. Wolfpack fans, you had a wonderful Final Four run. Maybe you get back here in a year. Maybe you have to wait decades. Hopefully that's not the case. But you ran into a better team with the best player in the country, and you tried to ugly up the game, and you just couldn't get quite enough rhythm there. But the game was a stinker. Not going to try and talk around that, GP. It just wasn't a great game. But Purdue is a great team, and fittingly so, it will play for a title on Monday night.
We'll turn our attention to UConn, Alabama next. But first, one word from our partners. The Black.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, Anderson Cooper? Final score, UConn 86, Alabama 72. Norlander, at some point on this podcast or my other podcast or on CBS Sports Network or anywhere else I might talk, I said that Alabama, if Alabama were to go 16 of 36 from three, the way it did against Clemson in the Elite Eight, that I still wasn't sure that would be enough to beat UConn, because I assumed UConn was going to be able to score no matter what, and I didn't think Alabama was going to show much resistance. In this game, Alabama shot 73% from three in the first half, finished 11 of 23 from beyond the arc. That's 47.8% from three. 11 makes, nearly 50% from the perimeter, and they still lost by 14 points. This sort of played out the way I think. And listen, I'm not trying to pat us on the back. We often like talk about games, and this is the way it's going to play out. And then it, something different happens. But I think we were in agreement. Alabama can maybe hang around by shooting incredibly well for the perimeter, but I doubt they're going to be able to show enough resistance on defense to actually upset UConn. And UConn ends up shooting 50% from the field in the game.
Yeah. Let me go on Alabama first here, and I'll go. I did a walk and talk with Nate Oates after. The thing he was really frustrated by, and like, you know, he admits like UConn's a machine, but he was happy they were able to get, we got some good swings. Like, we did have some good swings back and forth, which was really nice to see. Like, they got themselves in a competitive game. It wound up not being a close game, but it was a competitive game. But you know, I started the second half. I'm going to shout my guy, Jeff Borzello, who's sitting all of 10 feet away right now. He noted UConn started out 4-0, then Bama 7-0, then UConn 7-0, then Bama 7-0, and then UConn 9-2. So we had some good pendulum bounces right there. But at the end of the day, end of the game, what Oates was bothered by was the lack of offensive rebounds. I mean, they did not have – Nick Pringle didn't grab a single offensive rebound. Grant Nelson, he had five, but they needed Pringle to step up big. They needed, I think, a little more production from Jaren Stevenson. He was basically a non-factor, and it was a breakdown of the scouting report. Although UConn will force you to do that. Alabama had probably as good of a half as you could ask it to have, and even in spite of that, GP, it wasn't enough. I mean, I'm looking at the stats here. They were down four at the half, got down by six more at the end for a 70, for a 70, 80?
That was about 14.
It was 14. I think, I've got the under four there. Sorry about that. But yeah. But it is wild to me how Bama gave him a good game. It was entertaining, a competitive game, and yet not a close game. Yet again, UConn at this point is tracking toward, and I'm going to save most of this for tomorrow, but it is tracking toward all-time status if it can win. But I do like this. I like the fact that it faced resistance. It trailed a lot in the first half. And you got, yet again, Like, Klingon had a couple of insane plays. But the starting five just keeps – it just continually – GP, this team gives you so much balance. I mean, in this game, Castle at 21, I want to hear from you on Castle. As a freshman in the spot, was huge. Klingon had 18, Caravan 14, Spencer 14, Tristan Newton 12. It was the first time since Duke in 94 that we had seen a team in the Final Four get its five starters – have 12-plus points in a Final Four game. Duke in 94. That was Jeff Capel, Jericho Parks, Chris Collins, Antonio Lang, and Grant Hill, of course, on the mic there. Thoughts on UConn, thoughts on Alabama, thoughts on what you saw here. And the Huskies facing a little bit of doubt. And then you look up, and hello, yet again, 14-point win. They've yet to have a game decided by fewer than 13 points since the start of last year's tournament.
So – it was 56-56 with 12:03 left.
Correct. And real quick. Oates pointed – it was the first thing Oates pointed out to me when I shook his hand and walked back to the locker room. And it was almost like – I'm sorry for interjecting, but thank you for reminding me of this. It was almost – he was almost like at a loss for words in terms of like, no. Like, I thought we were going to have this game. I thought we really, really had a chance here. And then blink of an eye, tie game, and we miss a couple of offensive rebound opportunities, and you simply – you cannot do that in this spot against this team because they will absolutely make you pay. Lo and behold, they did.
Right. It's 56-56, like 12:03 left. And from there, UConn outscored Alabama 36-16 to win by 14. After 56-56, I believe it was immediately an 8-0 run by UConn to create space again. And you know, that was that. On Stephon Castle, I really think – some five-star freshmen would be, or five-star prospects would be smart to look at what he did, to look at the way he picked his college and what he decided to walk into, because they're, you know, these five-star freshmen, you know, the world's so much smaller now. Like when I was a kid, and I'm assuming, even though you're younger than I'm assuming when you were a kid, our friends were mostly people who we went to school with or lived around. Like that, those were your friends. You couldn't FaceTime folks. You couldn't even text folks. You couldn't even email anybody. And if you tried to call your friend in California from, say, North Mississippi.
Right, take it easy. I was able to email by, like, late middle school. Although
okay.
High school, I was all set up with Hotmail or whatever, but continue.
Yeah, I don't remember AOL chatting until at least college. And, buddy, I was pretty good at it, if you don't mind me saying.
Keep it going.
I'm pretty good at it. So here's my thing. Now you can FaceTime with anybody all over the world, right? I watched my kid's 7-year-old baseball game today from State Farm Stadium on my phone because that's where we're at with technology. All these five-star freshmen, the five-star prospects, they USA basketball, grassroots basketball. It doesn't really matter where you live. Most of the five-star freshmen in college right now have probably known each other for years. Some of them are friends, and I promise you I'm getting to a point. In the past, a lot of these freshmen have, like, teamed up and said, hey, let's go run things. Me, you, and him. We're all best friends. We're three of the top 15 players in the country. Let's go run college basketball as freshmen. And I'm not saying it's never worked. Kentucky won a national championship with a freshman-heavy team. Duke did too. But certainly with the emergence of the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness, being older is better in college basketball. And I'm not sure taking three of the best freshmen in the country and building an entire team around them is the way to win in college basketball anymore. I'll be happy to be proven wrong someday. So here's Stephon Castle. He's not the best player on his team, and that's usually what five-star freshmen want to be. He's just a role player on his team, and that's usually not what five-star freshmen want to be. But he either deliberately or accidentally, but either way, he got to this point. He picked a school where he was going to be surrounded, for the most part, by older rotation pieces. He was not going to be asked to be anybody's leading scorer, anybody's leading thing. And he's just come in and fit in and grown into a player who could have a magnificent impact in the national semifinals. It hasn't always been good for him. But as Dan Hurley said after the game, Stephon Castle, maybe he hasn't been the best scoring freshman in the country or the best anything freshman in the country. And those are my words, not Dan's. But what Dan did say is he's been a winning freshman from the jump all season long. And I just think that if you are a sophomore in high school thought of this way, junior in high school thought of this way, and you're still trying to make a college decision. I think what Stephon Cass was showing us now, and others have before, that maybe the best path isn't to go align yourself with a bunch of other freshmen, because odds are in this era of college basketball, that might just lead to you getting your brains beat in over and over again. Find a team that's missing a piece and go try to be that piece. That's what Stephon Castle is, and he might be a national champion in a couple of days.
Correct. Castle on Saturday had one of the best scoring games by any freshman in the national semifinals in four decades. Carmelo had 33 in 03 against Texas. Derrick Rose, as you well remember, 2008, had 25. Who did Memphis play in the semi, GP? Was that UCLA?
Yes.
UCLA in the semi, and then Castle here with 21. Could have been even better. Kyle Boone is around here somewhere. He filed.
Strong jaw.
Yeah, he was actually, I think you were so locked in on a take before, people watching on YouTube saw it. He popped in. But he can't hear what you're saying, so then I muted. I told him, I said, come back over. We'll get your Castle take. He darted off here. But he has a sidebar. Read it at CBSSports.com, his Castle sidebar. If Castle hadn't had foul trouble, he probably would have had an even better game overall. So extremely impressive to see UConn go to him. The confidence. There's just one guy after another. And I have to at least mention Klingon real quick here. Obviously, we're going to get him even more tomorrow on the preview pod. He was the first player, and I told him this on my interview for HQ. I said, hey, listen, man, I'm going to tee you up at the stat. He goes, what is it? And I was like, no, I'm going to wait for it. He's like, what is it? I was like, no, wait for it. And his eyes kind of popped a little when I said it. First player in a Final Four or a title game to have at least 15 points and four blocks since Anthony Davis in 2012 did it in the semis against Louisville. He's got a bad hand. He dinged it up in practice. But apparently he's going to be good to go. He showed himself well. They played well. And UConn's, they're well-oiled, man. 86-72. They were able to withstand every single piece of resistance from Alabama. And Alabama came heavy. They really did. But at the end of the night, and what's just outrageous, Connecticut finished at 1.37 points per possession, 21 of 37 from two-point range, shot 40%. From three-point range. Bama, I knew it needed at least 15 threes to have a chance. Wound up 11 of 23 overall. Mark Sears, you had yourself a heck of a game. Grant Nelson had the dunk of the tournament, but unfortunately it came up in a losing effort. Ran into a behemoth, and now we get number one versus number two. UConn has managed to withstand anything and everything in its path here, And I've got a thought on I know we're going to do a quickie look ahead, but I'm going to save what Hurley told me on HQ for just after the break. If you got anything else on this game, we'd love to hear it. But I don't know what to say, man. It was a quality game, and I thought we really might get it decided by single digits, but I refuse to pick UConn in a single-digit game till I see it, and I still haven't seen it.
I'll just put a bow on it with this. I'm glad you mentioned Derrick Rose. Because that's who I was thinking of when I was thinking of the Stephon Castle situation. To be clear, Stephon Castle is not Derrick Rose. Please. But similarly, Derrick Rose was a part of a freshman class at Memphis where he was always going to be the one freshman starter around a bunch of older guys to go try to win a national championship, to try to push that program to a different level. And in some respects, to a lesser degree, clearly to a lesser degree, but in some respects, Stephon Castle has become a similar thing. He's around older guys. He's the freshman starter. He's the five-star. He's the projected, I mean, we'll see, top 10 pick, lottery pick, top 20 pick, but he's going somewhere. He's going somewhere. And he has had, you know, I just think there's something to be said for, because keep in mind, even Derrick Rose, who was the number one pick in the subsequent NBA draft and the youngest MVP in history of the NBA, he was not their best player that year. It was Chris Douglas Roberts. He became their best player in the NCAA tournament, but Chris Douglas Roberts was the first team All-American. Derrick was comfortable with that. He didn't need to go be the star of anything. He just wanted to be a part of winning, or at least that was a part of the decision-making process. And Stephon Castle has now found himself in a similar situation, I guess. Ooh, let me do the math on this. 16 years after Derrick Rose was a starting freshman in the national championship game, surrounded by older people, Stephon Castle is going to find himself in a similar spot on Monday night. When we come back, we'll look ahead briefly to Monday night's title game. It's a good one. First, one more word from a partner.
Not a partners. I see you from afar.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Why did you have to call a Nana like that?
Did you? So hold on. I thought I was muted. Did you hear it or no?
Oh, buddy, everybody heard it.
Okay, well, I don't know. Nana's producing from like 50 feet over there, so there we go.
What, can he not hear me when I say
he
work
can.
From a partner?
He can, but I wanted to give him a little bit. He's over on the baseline. By the way, there's people doing podcasts there, podcasts there, podcasts there, podcasts everywhere. It's a heck of a scene.
I was going, just so people understand why I'm sitting in a makeup room in a trailer outside.
They won't let you in the building.
We actually tried. Like, we sent high-powered CBS people over. like we sent the big people over. And it was like, okay, GP. And they're like, who's GP? First, let's start with who's GP. Stop talking about GPs like he's Iron Eagle. All right? Hey, well, look at the field of 68.
More of us. More of us.
Hey, are you guys concerned about where Alabama's headed?
Hey, he wants to know if you're concerned about Alabama's season now. What's your level of concern for Alabama?
Very, very worried.
Okay, good. I love it when the field of 68 is concerned and worried about stuff.
How worried are we about NC State season right now, Parrish?
Like, I love those are my friends over there, and they're just always worrying about stuff. I just wish they'd be a little more stress free. Just worry a little less. I just wish they worry. They're always worrying. I worry.
Anyway,
it makes me worry about them. Okay. So we sent the big wigs over, and it was like, GP's got to be on television for about an hour and 20 minutes after the final buzzer. But then he just liked to walk back in State Farm Stadium and do a podcast. And they were like, we're not letting people back into the stadium an hour and a half after the game. Then I said, I got an idea. We've got our CBS Sports Network set right outside the stadium. It's all lit up. Why don't I just do the podcast from the thing? And they said, you want us to keep a whole crew here? All
and
night
you said
long?
Yes. You said yes.
I said, I'm not important enough to even make those types of suggestions, but I'm just wondering if that's something. And that was shot down. Like, oh, but I had a better chance of getting back in the stadium than I had of keeping lights on. And then it occurred to me, we have a trailer and I got makeup lights, and maybe it's not the best background in the world.
You're good.
But like, I know, hey, people on this podcast are used to seeing your shirts hanging in the background. Now we just got my shirts hanging in the background.
I got those out of the shop 3 months ago.
Okay, I stopped paying attention.
Forever.
I stopped paying attention.
Okay. 3 minute preview.
We're gonna Monday night.
Yes.
Monday night, Glendale, Arizona, State Farm Stadium. I can't wait. Like Dan Hurley said postgame, we have, first off, let me ask you this. Do you agree with this? These are the two best programs in America. The past 2 years. That's what Dan Hurley said.
I got Randolph Childress just there we go. Randolph.
Ask Randolph. Ask him if he is worried about what is the level of concern with NC State moving forward.
What's your level of concern with NC State moving forward? Field of 68 podcaster. What's your level of concern with NC State season moving forward? It's a joke.
Yeah, you know.
RC's among
hey,
the best.
Leave my ACC guys alone.
Okay. I forgot I'm talking to an ACC legend.
You are indeed.
I should have asked in the level of concern about something.
That is correct.
All right. So you agree with these the two best programs. Okay. So here's what we get on Monday night. Yes. The two best programs for the past 2 years, the teams that are currently number one and number two at KenPom. On one side, you get the best college basketball player in the country for two straight years. On the other side, at the exact same position, a guy who is apparently now in the conversation to be the number one overall pick in the 2024 NBA draft. You've either got a back-to-back national champion on Monday or a lose to a 16 1 year, win a national championship the next year story. That's awesome. And I think no matter what happens on Monday night, we're going to watch two coaches work, and both of them someday will join Bo Ryan in the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is the best national championship game we've ever had, but what I will tell you is that it's a great one, and it is the best one we could have had this season, and I can't wait to get it on Monday night.
Noodle on this for tomorrow. Don't want an answer right now. We did get Gonzaga-Baylor 2021, but I'm wondering what you think will be the best. When was the last time we got a title game matchup as good as this? Maybe you'll say 21. Maybe you'll say 18. Maybe you'll say 15. Think about that one. Two, I talked to Hurley after, and he said we'd been scoreboard watching all year because Purdue had a really good resume, and we were kind of jostling for position for the one number one ranking in the AP poll. And competitive guy said this is great for the sport. It obviously is. We have an awesome back-to-back here with the women's title game, South Carolina, Iowa, and now we've got Purdue versus UConn. Phenomenal moment for college basketball. We don't have to lie to ourselves here. If we'd gotten Alabama or NC State, we would have made something of it. It would have been interesting. This was the game. This is the feature for the sport. It's a wonderful moment. We have Klingon versus Edie. Only the second time ever we have 2 7-footers starting, squaring off. The other one was Olajuwon versus Ewing in 84.
But let me stop you there for a second. Are we 100% sure that Akeem Olajuwon and Patrick Ewing were both 7 feet tall?
Yes, we're sure.
Well, why? I think
we're sure. Yes.
Take a tape measure to Hakeem Olajuwon and let's prove it.
It's an incredible matchup, and I'm so thrilled that an event that doesn't always give us the best teams in the last game, we get it here, and we've gotten it semi regularly over the past decade. But we get it here, Houston. I see you. I hear you. Side note: UConn fans in the building. Kelvin Sampson won the coach of the year for USBWA. UConn fans booing Kelvin Sampson on Saturday night because it wasn't Dan Hurley that won. This is at halftime of the Purdue NC State game, and it was loud. Oh, UConn fans never change, man. Crazy moment there, but a phenomenal matchup. Again, we are going to preview this game, go in depth. We will have a Saturday morning look ahead podcast. At least want to acknowledge it here and the fact that we get Klingon, Edie, Hurley, Painter, UConn, Purdue, top two teams, best two resumes. It's a phenomenal thing for college hoops. I'm so, so, so excited to get to cover that and see what unfolds on Monday.
Are you surprised? And real quick here, because I was actually surprised by this. You've seen the number, right? It's 6.5. Are you surprised it's 6.5?
Good call on this, because we did a hit for HQ, but I wasn't on that one, but I listened to the whole thing when they were talking it. I'm surprised it's – yeah, if you had asked me to guess, because UConn can't find a close margin – I would have blindly said, all right, they're going to put it at Purdue 7.5. I didn't think it'd be double digits. You thought it'd be closer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, I thought Purdue minus 4. I would be like,
UConn keeps covering. They keep beating teams by 13, 14, 25 points. I know Purdue's really, really good, and they're trying to strike that balance between both sides there. But no, I actually thought it was going to be a little bit bigger than it was.
Yeah. Perhaps this is my Boilermaker coming out, you know?
Yeah,
perhaps this is my Boilermaker coming out. Could be. I also read somewhere or heard somewhere in my ear, perhaps from Anthony Billis, I think this is the first time since 2015 we have one seeds against one seeds in both the men's and women's tournament.
Oh, then that. Yeah. That's probably true. Just awesome. Yeah. Like we had Gonzaga-Baylor 21, but that might have been.
Yeah. And to answer your question, if we're going to rely on KenPom as a one versus two, well, then that 2021 tournament was actually 1-2 in the championship game, Gonzaga-Baylor. And do you realize it's still 1-2 with Gonzaga still number one and Baylor still number two?
Season-long data, that's what it'll do for you. That was a really, really, really good one. This is also a really, really, really good one. The game, what that didn't have, we'll get more into this tomorrow. What that didn't have that this one has is the battle of the bigs. Like, there's just two giants that you can build this game around. And no matter how it goes, whether it's a buzzer beater, 20 points on one side, however it goes, this one will be remembered for such a long time because you had the player of the year making the title game against Klingon, who's destined to be a high pick. And, can't wait for it. I can't wait to talk with you more about this at some point in the next 11 to 14 hours. I don't know when we're doing our show on Sunday, but we will have a look ahead just to give you that taste as well.
Yeah, we're going to get out of here, and then we're going to discuss when we're going to talk about solely Monday's title game on the next episode of the Island College Basketball Podcast. That'll be there for you at some point on Sunday. We'll let you know when we know. Shouts to David Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry Teagle, legend. Huck Larnell. Shouts to Rob Doster, Randolph Childress. And thank you guys once again for watching the Island College Basketball.
Shouts to Jeff Borzello.
Yeah. Shouts to Kyle Boone. Shouts to everybody.
Everybody. Yes.
Shouts to everybody. It's a fun time. Thank you guys for watching, listening to the Island College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts. Apple, Spotify, more of us than there are of them. Oh, buddy, I can't tell you how many times I heard that walking around State Farm Stadium. And do you know what it's like to be walking around State Farm Stadium with your wife and just having strangers yell, GP, there's more of us than there are of them.
Yeah.
It's a fun experience.
We didn't get the fact that we watched Sting last night. Saving it for Sunday's show. Saving it.
We did watch Sting last night. We didn't even get to the fact that I seriously almost had to go to the hospital last night.
Save it.
Save it for Sunday's show. I can't wait for Sunday's show. We'll talk to you then. Until then, take care.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.